Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 2.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I learned a long time ago that when you get to that and you start out with a therefore, you ought to know why it's there.
Yeah.
So let's just go back to chapter 1, and I'm going to read chapter 1 and make a few comments. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And I tell you, we can get a hold of some truths, and as we go through chapter 1, we could just settle in and spend the day there, but there's many great truths. Therefore,
right.
We're talking about the Creator.
Amen.
Therefore, he's heir of all things.
Amen.
Verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself.
Amen.
He didn't need any help.
I like that. Hey.
There's no organization.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
By himself.
That's right.
Purged our sins, sat down, it was done.
Yeah. Yep.
He didn't walk around. He didn't look around. He sat down.
Amen.
By the way, there's nothing more to add to it.
Amen.
He did it. There's no need for anything else.
Yes.
I find people today that are searching and they want to add to it or take from it.
Yes.
He did it all. He sat down.
Amen.
Finished.
Right.
Salvation's plan was done. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right, the what?
Right.
The right hand, position of authority, of honor, on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And not just the angels of worship him, but as we learned in Sunday school this morning, there's a little bit of worship needs to be done by us.
Yes, sir.
Maybe a little more.
Yes, sir.
And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is what?
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
And ever. And ever.
Yeah.
We live in a changing day. We live in a day when politics are changing on every side. Economy is changing in every direction. And I hate to tell you, we're living in a day that religion and that business is changing all over the place. What did he say? What did they mean? As we listen to the preaching and all that that's going on today, there is a change.
Yeah.
Now let's go to chapter 2, verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We could stop right there.
Yep.
We ought to take a hold of those things that we hear.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like them. Didn't ask whether you liked them or not.
Right.
Didn't say whether it tickled your funny bone or not. It didn't do anything to your spiritual bone, so to speak. But it did say, you better take a hold of them. By the way, if it's in the book, you better take a hold of it. Now, if you want to argue about somebody's theology and all that, you can do that all day. But when it's in the book, it's yea or nay, one or the other. And we ought to be yea to this, all right? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, least at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, for just a few moments, would you take our thoughts and would you bring your thoughts in line with them, that we might be in line with you? I pray today you'd speak to us through the Word of God. I pray for the preacher that he would be feeling better. I pray for these folks that they would have ears that would be anointed to the Word of God today. And most of all, as the Word of God is preached, I pray if there's a man or woman, boy or girl here today that does not know thee as personal Savior, might the Holy Spirit of God draw that one in the matter of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
That's the point today. And we're going to thank you for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? When I look in the Word of God, I find that there are just two or three in the New Testament, three unanswered questions. One of them is in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's thought-provoking. Then we could go to another one that's over there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 17. And the Bible said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What's the problem? What's the answer going to be to those that will not obey the gospel? To those that are not saved, to those that had neglected the plan of salvation and the way of salvation.
Amen.
And then, of course, there's one here in chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That ought to bring us to a sobering realization and thought, how will we escape?
Amen.
How are we going to get out of this situation we're in? I think in this verse here, it speaks about a great provision that God's made for us, salvation. This little verse here speaks to us about a great peril that faces us, neglect. This verse speaks to us about a great problem. If we neglect, how shall we escape? What's the greatest provision that God has made for you and I? And someone might stand up and say, well, it's my health. That's the greatest thing. Longevity. That's the greatest thing. Money in my pocket, food in my... Yes. A good wife and a good family and a good home. God has provided those things and they are great. But they dim in comparison to that one great thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is great. Why? Let me give you three reasons here. Number one, it's great because of the great love that provided it.
Yeah.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Great love prompted and provided it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what?
Everlasting
life. How long is that?
Ever.
Ever. And?
Ever.
And?
Ever.
And ever?
Ever.
No end. Salvation is great because of the love that provided, but it's also great because of the great price paid for it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody paid the price for your salvation and mine.
That's right.
And we don't ever want to remember. What does that mean? Cost God the best he had. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible said, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live, that we might live through him. God sent his Son.
Yeah.
It cost him the very best that he had. It cost him his only begotten Son, that you and I might have the opportunity to be saved today.
Right.
And I hear people say, I'm going to think about. Think about what? Well, I'm going to analyze what?
Yeah.
It's all been done.
Right.
It's all laid out.
Right.
It's all waiting. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is great because of the love that provided it, because of the price that was paid for it. Creation cost God a word. The Bible tells me in Genesis 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But redemption, salvation cost God the word. John chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I read again in my Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Yes.
And then I put that alongside of how shall we escape when we neglect, when we reject, when we think about what he has done for us.
Yes.
That great love.
Yes.
And the great price that was paid. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, then salvation is great in the third place because of the great blessings included in it. Boy, I like this. I like go down. I don't know. You ever sit down and analyze where you're at, what you got, and how's everything going?
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't like to go blindfolded, brother. I want to know what I got, why I got it, and all that. I like to sit down and go over this thing. Well, how about spiritual? You ever think about what you have? Oh, I just have it. Well, let me give you a few things. I didn't dream these up. I'll give you some truths from the Word of God. This great salvation is great because of the blessings included in it. Man, I don't have to go around and look today from the day I got saved until today. I have all these things, not only until today, but in the days ahead I have all this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is great and every blessing we need. Let us look first of all in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You don't have to fuss, and you don't have to fume, and you don't have to add to it, and you don't take away from it. It's all been provided for you and me. Let's go on with some other ones here. Well, what else do I have? Well, in Acts chapter 13, and verse number 38 and 39, I'll tell you something that I have. I have forgiveness.
Amen.
Ah, yeah. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Just as if I'd never sinned. I want you to know this is what I have in Christ Jesus. This is what I have in this package called salvation. I'll tell you what I have. I have forgiveness. I have cleansing in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from
all.
If you haven't gotten any other word out of these two verses, there's a lot. A-L-L. All sin, all cleansing, all forgiveness. I don't feel like it. It didn't say if you feel like it. It didn't say if you don't feel like it. It said on the authority of the Word of God, you have it.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Man. That, said, preacher, how'd you get saved? I got to say this.
Yeah, too.
Just think that I'm a big scale. How's that? And I used to think that God, somebody said, well, you going to go to heaven? Sure. How are you going to make it? Well, I'm going to put all good things here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put all the bad things here. And then we're going to weigh them. God's going to weigh them. And if the good outweighs the bad, I'm in.
God forbid. Yeah.
You know, that got me. I was educated. I had a degree and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that's pretty good. And I'm sitting there one night and said, how much does good weigh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And how much does bad weigh? Hmm. Yeah. How much does good weigh, and how much does bad weigh? Boy, I start thinking about the bad. Whew. Oh, there's a lot of it there. A lot of weight over here. And I looked one day and I said, you know what? I don't have enough good to outweigh all that bad I've done. You know what I come to the conclusion? That ain't the way it goes.
That's right.
It don't work that way.
Right.
See, there might be some sitting here and you laugh and you say, oh, preacher, you are a dinghy. Well, what do you think it is to get in? Is your program, is your thought of how I get into heaven any different from mine was, that mine was? The good outweighs the bad. That sounds good. Until you start weighing good.
Yeah.
You find out bad outweighs it.
Yeah.
So I ain't going to get in that way.
Right.
Got to be a better way. There is a better way. The book of Hebrews will tell you about that better way. Shoot. Well, what else do I have in this a matter of salvation? It includes eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1, 11 and 12. And this is the record. What? And this is the record. And this is the record.
Yes, sir.
We'll let that go. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has what?
Life.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. According to the Word of God, you either have Jesus and you have eternal life, or you don't have him and you don't have eternal life.
Right.
word.
Well, that's, you say, that's too simple. Well, put it any way you want. You're either saved and you're in and you're going to heaven, or you're lost and you're out and you're going to hell. One or the other.
Amen.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, there's some other good things in this matter of salvation. There's eternal life, forgiveness, and cleansing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible said, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." I'm happy in Jesus. Oh, everything is on the up and up and everything is great. I didn't say that. I said I'm happy in Jesus. I said I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that he is able. God never said it's all going to be a bed of roses. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Boy, there's some other goodies we have in salvation. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Yes. We have peace.
Thank God.
Amen.
Ain't much peace today. Not much peace. If you want to listen to your television, I'd suggest you wouldn't, but go ahead. All you're going to hear is, "Come my way and vote my way and you'll have peace." And the other one gets up and said, "No, go that way and do this and you'll have peace." Peace of what?
Yeah.
Peace when? But I'm going to tell you, we will have peace.
Amen.
In this matter of salvation. One more thing. John chapter 4, we have home in glory.
Hey.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Man, I tell you what, over 80, it's getting closer, looking sweeter. You know what's happening as you grow older? This world gets dimmer. The things that are in it are not so appealing. That's the negative side of it. But the positive side, boy, that's going to be a place.
Yeah.
No aches, no pains,
right,
better eyes,
yeah,
good teeth,
yeah,
no bulges,
yeah,
bad arches.
Yeah.
I get all that down here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the other side.
Amen.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, that's talking about the great provision. Let me talk to you a few minutes about the great peril that faces us. What's the great peril for any person today? That is neglecting God's plan of salvation. Three words can describe that in this verse here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The first word is reject, a deliberate refusal to receive. Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen very many of these. But I want to tell you something. I think I mentioned Wednesday night about the gentleman that worked for one of my men. He was Jack had a heating and air conditioning business, and his right-hand man loved his granddaughter. Oh, I thought the world only had one granddaughter. Loved her to no end. For got sick, got in the hospital. Jack told me it wasn't good. I'd go up there, talk to him before many times about this matter of salvation. And friends, I want you to know, my heart went from here down to the bottom of my feet when I said, "Ferg, your granddaughter come to Sunday school. She got saved. She's going to heaven. Wouldn't you like to get saved and go to heaven and make sure of that?" And he said, "No. No. No! And he rejected. Wasn't long. We buried him. Best of my knowledge, never did get saved. Oh, there's the rejection. John chapter 5 and verse number 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life.
Yeah,
you will not.
Will not.
Will not. He didn't say I'll think about it. I will not.
Right.
You don't run into that much. People at least will fib to you a little bit and say, I'll think about it.
Right.
Every once in a while there is that no. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 24. The Bible said, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. This is not a wishy-washy sermon.
Right.
I mean, tell you, this is you're saved, you're in, you're lost, you're out.
Right. Right.
You have a chance, you wanna or you don't wanna. You can walk in these doors lost and undone. You can get saved today, or you can turn around and walk back out lost as a goose and reject. Well, there's another word in this matter of a great peril. It's accept. To hear, to believe, to receive, and to be saved. Behold, I stand at the door and if any man open the door, I will come in. End of story.
Yep. Try.
Oh, we have another version today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll throw him out when I don't feel like it. I don't think so.
No, sir.
That's not Bible.
No.
I'll walk out when I don't feel it. That's not Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That means that God is knocking at your heart's door. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear, see, now the whole burden has switched to man. God's doing the knocking, man's doing the hearing. If any man hear my voice and what? Oh, you got to open the door.
Right.
I will come in.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, what else is there? Come on now.
Right.
Well, I said, preacher, we ought to pray. I'm not discrediting prayer.
Right.
Don't you think that when God knocks at your heart's door that maybe somebody had been praying for you prior to that?
Right.
Don't you think God's involved in saying, hey, listen to that. Them people have been praying for you. You need to get saved. But you're still going to be responsible for the answer that you say. Yes or no.
Right.
And then in the third place, there's the word neglect. Very seldom you just see the rejection in that, but quite often you'll see the neglect, careless, passive attitude. Another day. How many remember the song Manana? Anybody remember? Come on.
What song?
Manana.
Sounds great to me.
No, it's Northern. It's Yankee song. The window she has broken and the rain she's coming in. And if we do not fix it, we'll be soaked right to the skin. But if we wait a day or two, the rain will go away. And I won't need a window on such a rainy day, sunny day. Manana. Put it off. That's the whole thought. That was before World War II. Yeah. Put it off. Manana. Do it some other time. That's the song they sing today. They didn't know that. I'm putting it off. Put it off. Mañana. Shouldn't say it's up north. That's down south. That's Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. Sing the song. They do not believe on the Lord. They do not believe Him as their Savior. But as many as receive Him, as many as receive Him, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. They delay. And that's a very dangerous thing. Well, I want to ask you something. What if we neglect our body? What's going to happen? You go to the doctor and the doctor said, well, I'll use my own example. And the doctor said, you better lose 20 pounds by the time you come back. I said, sure.
Yeah.
I weigh 3 pounds more than when I left 3 months ago. I don't even want to hear what the doctor's going to say. And at the VA, they say it pretty plain. Well, what if you neglect your job or your business? Gets rough, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What if a housewife neglects her home? Oops. Gets pretty messy. And young girls and youngsters, what if you neglect your education? You'll fail.
Right.
You'll struggle.
Right.
You'll have a tough time.
Yes, sir.
That's all in the normal realm. That's in the physical realm.
Yeah.
In the natural. And so you and I transfer that over to the, and many transfer that over to the spiritual and say, I'm going to put it off. Again, I think I mentioned this, that a young boy came to the altar in our church, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that, and went to deal with him. We were dealing with people. My assistant came down and dealt with that boy. There was some other things going on, and he said, I'll tell you what, we'll come over to, or the boy said, why don't you come to my house, live in the next town over, like from here to Kingsport or Mount Carmel, whatever. And why don't you come to my house? Made an appointment, went over there. My assistant went, got there, and the mother said, Billy went for, he's playing ball with Little League. Dave came back. Said, I'll make another appointment. I said, make sure you can get back there. 2 days later, I got a telephone call from Oak Harbor. Said some kids got hit by a train. And one of the three boys was Billy. Now I want to tell you something. Preacher, there ain't nothing harder in the ministry, in the pastor, than to look into the eyes of a mother. And she said, tell me my boy's okay. I wanted to be a modernist. I really did. I wanted to be a liar. But I looked in her eyes with tears running down my own and said, he had a chance. We came to your house and you neglected to make that appointment, and now your boy,
mercy,
is not going to heaven on that authority, but going to hell. Now, folks, I want to tell you, I want to screw a hole in the ground and jump in.
Yeah.
But I was more concerned about the God in heaven who gave that boy a chance. But they rejected, neglected, until just a few days it was too late. Tomorrow I'll get it done. Tomorrow might be too late. And the great problem will close. If you neglect God's provision for your soul, how will you escape? That's the problem. And let me tell you, first of all, it's a great problem because God cannot solve it. No, the Catholic Church might. They'll give you purgatory and give you another chance. But God not going to give you another chance. You come in His way, His time, when He calls, or you don't come in. Oh, I hate that. But when I reject, God cannot answer that.
Mercy.
I'm going to tell you something else. When you reject, and that's a great problem, you cannot solve it. How are you going to solve it?
Right.
And in the third place, it's a great problem because nobody anywhere can solve that problem. Those might tell you that you can light that candle and that person that died is going to go from here to there and from there to there and over there and whoop-a-noo and over there. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
Ain't going to happen. Nobody can solve that problem. God can't solve that problem. Not at that time. You can't, nobody can. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'm closed with this. Man of God is holding a meeting, preaching. Mother had her little boy there and said to the little boy, I want you to meet the evangelist, this man of God. Said, okay. He came down the front. The evangelist stepped down from the platform. And the mother brought the little boy. The preacher put out his hand to shake hands with the little boy. And the little boy went like this. Now, I can't bend my fingers because I got a little Arthur there. But it went like that. And the mother said, shake hands with the man of God. And the little boy held his hand like that. And the man of God said, son, let me shake hands with you. And the little boy would not open his fist. And he turned around and walked away. He said, the mother, what... And the mother said he had his favorite marble in his hand.
Favorite marble.
And took that over the man of God. You laugh, but I tell you some of the things that we hold on to are even more, how do I want to say it, damnable than that. What are you holding on to? I don't know if I can keep it. I don't know if I can hold on. I don't know if I qualify. I want you to know Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. You come, He'll accept you. And once you're in, you never get out. He'll hold you in His hand. Now, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Every head bowed, please.